It's another edition of Madden Monday here at the Breakfast with Ben's podcast. Quick announcement before we get rolling. Mark Madden from 105.9 The X and Trib Live. As of July the 18th, the Breakfast with Ben's podcast will be expanding. The content, not going to change. You can still get it every week at triblive.com if that's how you choose to download it. But the podcast will be part of the Fans First Sports Network. If you're someone who listens on podcast platforms such as Apple or Spotify, go there now and resubscribe, or at least you can do so on the 18th. That's when our Breakfast with Ben's podcast will hit the new feed. Just search Breakfast with Ben's on the Fans First Network and resubscribe automatically to get all of our latest podcasts, including the Madden Monday podcast, which we'll do every week with Mark Madden from 105.9 The X and Trib Live. Mark, let's start right off with the Penguins. Kyle Dubas's first few weeks as being the director of hockey operations, his first offseason with the Penguins. We've gotten through the draft and now the first wave of free agency. What do you think of how he's approached things so far? What moves stand out the most to you?
I like everything Kyle did except the Jari contract. I'm not militantly against it, but I just think it's too long. Here's a guy that, you know, has failed them via being hurt too much and has failed them being playing poorly in big games. They gave him a 5-year deal. Now, maybe that was just a going rate. Maybe Jari was going to get that somewhere. But I just think it's, you know, the average annual value is not too much. The term's too much. I would not have given him more than, I'm going to be honest, I would have hesitated to give him more than 2 years, and he got 5.
Would you have preferred Samsonov for what he got?
Yeah, but not like militantly so. Hey, my overall sentiment is Kyle Dubas is the guy I've been campaigning to get this job since March, when I thought that started to smell out that he might get sacked by the Leafs if they didn't go as far as the franchise hoped. And I knew he wanted to get out of that conflict with Brendan Shanahan looking over his shoulder as team president. So I'm going to trust the guy's plan. I think everything else he did was spot on. And if he can get Erik Karlsson from San Jose, that'd be the cherry on top. I just never even dreamed the Penguins would be in the mix for that. I still don't see how they make it work, but the fact that it's a possibility, even a possibility, Tim, is a testament to what Dubas can do, his deal-making ability.
I would imagine that has to involve getting Petrie and or Granlund off the books, right?
I would hope so. I'd like to get them off the books no matter who the Penguins get in return, but yeah. One thing I want to point out, too, is the bottom six forwards he got with Eller and Nito and Achari. They're not going to score a ton of goals, but I think the Penguins are okay for goals. Those guys won't spend as much time in their own end. The Penguins will not get hemmed in as much with those guys on the rush. They're very adept at just getting the puck out and with control. So I really do like those signings. I think the Penguins won't be half as stale as they were last year.
How do you view Riley Smith versus Zucker?
A sideways move. I think Riley Smith's a bit more versatile. I think Zucker has a bit more edge to him. I was shocked Zucker only got 1 year with Arizona. That just, I have no idea what happened there.
Yeah, to the point that I wonder how far along in conversations were they really with him in the first place. And, you know, if he's guaranteed to get 5-something, could they have gotten him at 2 years, 3 each, or 2 years, 3.5 each, and guaranteed him 6 or 7?
Well, this is just my theory, Tim, with Zucker. I think that he was probably getting offers with longer term but less average annual value. And with the cap schedule to increase next year for the first time in, well, since the pandemic, it's been a flat cap. I think Zucker probably said, okay, let's take a 1-year deal at decent money and bet on myself. Let's hope I have a decent year, a better year even than decent. And then he gets a deal with term and value next year.
Or maybe since he goes to Arizona, and I get it, it's kind of close to home for him, maybe he gets traded to somewhere good, shows his value, and then he can parlay that into something else.
I would actually expect that would happen. That's a very likely scenario.
How do you feel about where their goaltending is overall, though, with Nedeljkovic coming on board with Jari? They've got 5 guys in the system. I guess it gives them more options. Do you like it any better than you did 2 days ago?
Yeah, I like it, Nedeljkovic, if that's how you pronounce it. And really, I don't care if I'm right or not. I mean, I think there should be, you know, you should have to have a pronounceable name to play in the league. Or for a team, I have to talk about them. But, I mean, he's a guy who could step in and be number one if Jari falters. And he's certainly a much more reasonable alternative if Jari gets hurt. I mean, I'm kind of thinking of the Nedeljkovic that played so well in Carolina a few years ago. Not the guy Detroit sent to the minors, but I think it's an upgrade from DeSmith, don't you?
My hunch is to say yes. It's obviously important to be healthy when you're the backup to Jari, since he's hurt so often, and DeSmith has a bad injury history too. I'm not sure if Nedeljkovic could be counted on to be consistent more often than DeSmith was, but hopefully he can at least be available and they don't have to go to the Tokarski range or spicy pork and broccoli like they did in key situations two years ago.
I think Nedeljkovic's better than DeSmith. I think this franchise has long overrated Casey DeSmith. I mean, to an unbelievable level. I'm not thrilled with the goaltending, Tim. Like I said, I'm not thrilled. I mean, that's gambling on Jari to stay healthy. He has to stay healthy. And I hear people say, well, he's not been hurt all the time. Well, he had, what, 9 injuries over the past two seasons, something like that, that caused him to miss. Maybe it was 5. I don't know. I'm sitting here at Connie Out Lake, Tim. I'm just looking at the boats, okay? But he's been hurt fairly often and recently, too. So to gamble on that, it definitely is a risk.
Well, as you've said many times, when it comes to injury tracking with hockey, you can't do it because they're so loathe to be forthcoming about it. So if you say 9/2, let's go with 9/2. How do we know it's not the same injury over and over again? How do we know it's not really chronic because they hide that information so very much? How about Graves, Mark, the defenseman they got from New Jersey? Is he the Brian Dumoulin replacement?
Now that I say it out loud, Tim, I think it might have been 5/1. Maybe I'm quoting Zucker's contract value. I think Graves he's good and he's big. He's a top four. I think he's legitimate. I think he probably partners with Letang. Now, I thought Dubas must have misspoke when he talked about Graves adding depth on the right side. Graves is left-handed. To my knowledge, he's mostly played on the left side in his career up till now. And we know that if he's played on the right side in the past, Sully will not play a left-hander on the right side. I just wonder where this leaves Ty Smith, who is apparently blocked from being in the NHL again.
That much is clear, that Dubas doesn't really seem to care about what the previous moves were in terms of depth that Hextall tried to build with guys like him. He's not worried about roadblocking anybody or, you know, DeSmith being the backup here or anything like that. It's just when it comes to getting out from some other moves, I hope there's more to come. And if he's going to be stubborn on the buyout front, like he doesn't want to buy anybody out, I just hope there are trades to come that we don't know about with Petrie and with Granlund.
I think he's trying. One thing that was funny, though, like Tim, I hate almost all the media in Pittsburgh, present company accepted. And I was laughing when, like, you know, a couple hours into free agency, why isn't Dubas getting more stuff done? Well, because you don't watch hockey and you don't know Kyle Dubas, so shut the frig up and look at all he got done. And I would suggest to those who think he's not got enough done to just be patient.
I've also seen a lot of local media, you know, immediately rip the Jari signing and then back off of it, like they felt guilty about doing it. I'm not one of those. I didn't like the Jari signing either.
I still don't like it, but it better work.
It's better work because it has to, because they have no other options. Like, he used the phrase best bet. If Jari's the best bet, I can't imagine what the worst bet is.
Well, you see, the injury thing is the primary concern. I just don't like that he hasn't won big games. And in fact, I mean, you know, he lost the 2021 playoff series to the Islanders by himself. And I said then, Tim, if it were up to me, he never would have played for the Penguins again. At that point, he had disappointed too much and too consistently. Never mind what's happened since.
Any opinion on what's too much to give up for Carlson? I mean, like, how much do you value him and the prospect of him coming to Pittsburgh?
I'm sure the Penguins would give up a number one draft pick or something in return, maybe a guy like Pettersson. But don't forget, you have to jam Granlund and or Petrie in that deal, too, to open up the cap space to have Carlson. So, long story short, Tim, I have no idea. I hate to even predict hockey trades now because they're not hockey trades. They're all about cap dumps and getting a third team involved and all that kind of crap.
What else league-wide, Mark, caught your interest? Babcock to the Blue Jackets, Sorokin getting 8 years from the Islanders. What other moves really piqued curiosity for you?
Well, the one thing that encouraged me is that I don't think Buffalo and Detroit did very much, do you?
No, and they were in a position to do so, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, there were no moves out there that they made that were, you know, led me to believe they're going to leapfrog the Penguins, you know, necessarily. Columbus got better. They were blessed when Fantilli dropped to them. Why Anaheim didn't take him, I don't know. Babcock will be good for them at the beginning until they all hate him. But, you know, in terms of teams that are going to leapfrog the Penguins, I mean, boy, New Jersey's going to be a juggernaut. You know that?
Yeah, Jersey does look like they've improved. And what do you think of the Hall trade before I get off of that? That one just jumped back into my head. It's been a while since
that. That was a good trade for both teams because the Devils had to get rid of, you know, Hall's contract.
The Bruins had to get rid of Hall's contract.
I'm sorry, Bruins. Yeah. That the Bruins want to get rid of his cap figure. Good catch, Tim. And the Hawks, you know, it reminds me of when we got Sid and we brought in guys like Ziggy Palfy. Because you had to bring in somebody to play with Sid. Now, as it turned out, Sid didn't play with Ziggy. He played with the often celebrated line of Colby Armstrong and Andrew Hilbert.
Yes, a great line that will go down in hockey history, to be sure.
It'll go down, all right.
Mark, since we're talking about drafts and prospects down the line, Ben Sherrington bending over backwards during the course of his media session the other day to make it sound like there are prospects to be considered besides Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens. Boy, I hope that's just smoke, but I fear that it isn't.
If they don't draft either Cruz or Skeens, then you have to look at why they didn't, because it's probably something to do with money.
Yeah, it's saving money on the first pick so they can spread it out for others, and they always like to sing that song, but this is such a draft, obviously, where there's great talent on top, and you've got depth of talent on top that you can justify giving the first-round pick money to, at least those three college players, especially the two from LSU. Anything beyond Langford is thinking too hard and being too cheap, period.
You got to draft Skeens. I'm convinced of that. I was kind of going back and forth, but again, I repeat, and boy, with the Pirates, you have to repeat yourself over and over again, and they still don't get it. Or they do get it, but for a different reason. But they will never get a number one caliber starting pitcher unless they draft him. They won't trade for one. They won't get one via free agency. I mean, who's the only, you know, starting pitcher of that caliber they've had in recent memory, Tim? Garrett Cole, right?
Yes.
And how'd they get him? First pick overall.
Yeah, and they had Tyon as the second pick between, what, Harper and Machado, and how did that work out? So it's a roll of the dice, but yeah, you got to put yourself in a position.
But, Tim, at least drafting Skeens would be a good gamble. If it doesn't work out, at least you made the right move, and even if he only stays for 5 or 6 years before he leaves or he gets elbow trouble, it's still the right pick to make. You can't live in your fears, as I've heard it said, when it comes to making this pick.
Did I read that you kind of changed your mind on McCutchen, Mark?
I wrote that already.
Yeah.
You know, not because they're contending, because they're pretending, but at least it's a decent kind of pretending because of how bad the National League Central is. And he's their best player. I can't believe I'm saying that with him at age 36, and it says a lot about the rest of their roster too, but Andrew McCutchen's their best player. You look at the numbers, and it's obvious.
Would you consider trading Keller? I wouldn't. I'd hold on to him because if you trade Keller, that's just a flag of you're never planning on having this rebuilding project end. You got to stop with dealing.
If you trade Keller, it just reemphasizes they don't intend to win. They're just rebuilding and promising you a future that never comes. But if you keep Keller and draft Skeens, you're going to have 2 or 3 years of Skeens and Keller at the top of your rotation. Another reason to draft Skeens, Tim, is he'll probably be here next year. And the Pirates at long last have to be about right now. They can't just continually be about, again, a future that never arrives.
How's the lake treating you, Mark?
Oh, it's great. I got up here. I went to Winger and Tom Kiefer and John Corabi last night, and I came up this morning. But I'm watching boats on the lake right now. I had two donuts from Golden Dawn as soon as I got up here. I had some wings at a place there, their wings were good, they are, and I'm going to the Italian restaurant tonight, now, Antonio's. But I got to tell you, the weather here has not been great. We got about 2 hours of sunshine in a little bit ago, but it's mostly been overcast and rainy. And I walked through the park, which is mostly demolished, and they finally gotten around to knocking down the miniature golf course, Tim, which was my favorite part of it. Now it's in shambles.
I saw your tweet about that. Might have been the last tweet that I'd be able to see for today. I don't know where my limits are, but I saw your tweet.
Yeah, they ruined Twitter, but who cares? I mean, I got to be honest. If Twitter's ruined and I spend a lot less time on my phone because of it, then it's a blessing in disguise. Twitter probably doesn't do nearly as much tangibly for me as I think it does.
You know, the whole you can get 6,000 if you pay $8, it certainly incentivizes paying, and it makes it so that the whole lording over you, why would you do it to give money to Musk thing? Well, now, especially those of us who are in a profession where we need it, we can justify it. I wouldn't mind paying for it. But I am also like you. If the intent is to basically ruin this thing, well, go ahead and ruin it. I was a happier person before it existed in the first place.
Tim, I'm 62. I don't think I need it.
Mark, enjoy the rest of the vacation.
All right, Tim, good stuff. And we'll do the Facebook Live thing tomorrow morning.
Yes, we will. We will do Matt and Ben's.
Actually, by the time people hear this, we'll probably have done it already. But just anything me and Tim do, just pay attention, all right?
Yes, 9:30 a.m., Matt and Ben's Unfiltered. That's coming up on Monday at the Trib Live Facebook stream.